to episode 196 of my weekly radio show, The Infectious Myth. Email me at david.crow@theinfectiousmyth.com. That's Crow with an E. Join the discussion and like us at facebook.com/theinfectiousmyth. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Infectious Myth. Listen Tuesdays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time on PRN.fm or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or other programs. You can listen to any of the last five episodes over the phone by dialing the U.S. number 701-719-0990 and following the instructions. Just remember that you will be responsible for any long-distance charges. I don't know that you're a listener until I hear from you, so send me a message letting me know how you stay in touch with the show, what you'd like about it, and what I can improve. If you include your mailing address, I will send you a little thank you gift, which will be one of the bookmarks I make by hand using my own photographs. If you'd like to sponsor this show, please contact me. You can make a one-time donation via PayPal using the email david.crow@theinfectiousmyth.com or monthly donations at patreon.com/infectiousmyth. And that's really important for times like with this podcast and with the previous podcast on HPV when I actually travel to do the interview, or in this case, not really an interview, as you will see. I appreciate you commenting and suggesting guests. I appreciate your financial support as well. Thanks for listening and for recommending this show to your friends. When one thinks of a rally about a drug on Parliament Hill in Ottawa, Canada's capital, you might think of a rally for a drug like marijuana. But in this case, it was a rally against a drug, the antimalarial mefloquine. I spent a day at a seminar on mefloquine led by Dr. Remington Nevin, who I've interviewed twice. And the next day, I went to Parliament Hill, along with quite a number of soldiers and, surprisingly to me, a few politicians. As far as I could see, I was the only media there, so I whipped up my digital recorder and started interviewing people, and then recorded some of the speeches. Even after I cut some of it out, it was over an hour, so the last speech by Dr. Remington Nevin will be linked from the podcast page. If you'd like me to do more of this kind of field journalism, consider supporting my Patreon campaign. I'd really appreciate it. Allopathic medicine continues its domination because of apathy and ignorance is a product of apathy. But when people are motivated, because they realize the damage an allopathic-like product like mefloquine has done, they can learn. Almost all of us have this capacity. You don't normally think of soldiers digging into medical research, but when their lives and the lives of their fellow soldiers and their families are at stake, they find out that they are capable. We all are. And we should be prepared before we are faced with a decision about whether to take a drug, vaccine, or other treatment. In this podcast, you will hear first some interviews with audience members and then portions of the speeches. The short interview with Marge Matchie is important because she spent 25 years defending the memory of her husband, who was blamed for the so-called Somalia affair that was likely triggered by mefloquine psychosis. Claude Lalancette, who gives a speech, is important because he started a hunger strike a couple of years ago that directed more attention to this issue. It's interesting that politicians from the left-wing NDP and the right-wing Conservatives have come together on this issue, but the centrist Liberals, the current governing party, are AWOL. Governments don't want to fess up to the damage they've done. They don't want to pay for it, and they don't want to be embarrassed. Both the Liberal and Conservative parties probably have formerly important people whose reputations would be tarnished if a full inquiry was launched. The NDP have never formed a government, otherwise they'd probably have to be included as well. But kudos to the politicians who were doing their job and listening to their constituents. Perhaps the most important thing I learned during these 2 days was that the overlap of PTSD and mefloquine poisoning symptoms results in the wrong diagnosis in many cases. That's not just an interesting point. Drugs like antidepressants are often prescribed for PTSD. I'm not convinced that's a good idea for PTSD, but it's a really terrible idea for people who've been chemically poisoned. The wrong diagnosis also diverts attention from researching treatments that might work better. This could include a variety of non-pharmaceutical treatments. Maybe eventually there will be a way to remove the quinoline drugs from the brain and neurological system. But until the problem is recognized, progress is difficult. Regarding soldiers, by nature, I have long been a pacifist because I've seen the futility of war, Korea, Vietnam, Somalia, Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen, and others. People die, lives are ruined, countries are ruined, civilians and soldiers remain damaged. But no matter what you think about war, when we send soldiers into danger, including a danger from substances we expose them to, like Agent Orange, anthrax vaccines, mefloquine, and more, then we need to support them when they get home. It's harder to support people whose behavior has been destabilized because now it's an everyday thing, not just showing up once a year for a parade. But they deserve our support. But anyway, here I am on Parliament Hill. Excuse the background noise. This was taped outside, as you will soon notice.
Are you here for the demonstration?
Yeah.
Could you answer a couple questions? Like why you're here, how you're affected?
He came to the education meeting yesterday and watched the whole presentation by
yes.
Dr. Nevin.
Oh, okay. So I just want you to say your name, how you're affected by mefloquine or somebody you know, and what changes do you want to see by this demonstration?
And he does a blog.
Yes, it's going to go on a podcast. If you're not comfortable.
I'm blunt.
You're blunt.
He's blunt.
Okay.
Blind.
Blunt.
Blunt. Oh, that's fine. I'm not guaranteeing it'll be on the podcast.
Yeah,
if it's all swear words, maybe not.
Well, there may be a few choice words thrown in.
I can blank out the words. Okay. It's not live, right? I'm taping it.
He's not like a radio CBC guy or whatever.
It's an independent podcast.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yes. So your name?
Matthew Follows.
And you were in the military?
Yeah, I did 20 years.
And what was your position in the military?
I was a radio operator.
Okay.
And I was ordered to take this stuff in 1994.
Mefloquine.
Ordered to take it going into Rwanda.
Yes, and what happened when you took it?
Well, it was all a big joke around the stadium. The big dreams that everybody had at the beginning, which is the first precursor that tells you, stop taking this shit.
So, wild dreams at night.
Oh, vivid. No, I'm not going to go into details about my dream. All I know is that I could have slept in it forever. It was that vivid.
Right. Yeah. Some people had good dreams, some people had bad dreams.
The Padre had, and no names, but the Padre we had cartoon dreams.
Yes.
Vivid cartoon dreams. So, it should have been an indication to say stop it, and no, it wasn't.
So you're here on a demonstration on Parliament Hill. What changes do you want to see around mefloquine?
I want it recognized. I want it stopped. And I want us to get healthy because there's too many of my brothers and sisters out there that are fucking dying, that are taking their lives. And it's bullshit.
Yes.
Yeah, it's... Sorry, man.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
You okay?
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
I am Marge Machi. I'm the wife of Master Corporal Clayton Machi, the soldier most disgraced by the Somali affair. He was charged with the murder and torture of a Somali teen. What message I need to spread, and along with all the other veterans that are going to gather here today, is that we never condone such actions. I say that every time, but people really need to understand how affected by the drug, the anti-malarial drug mefloquine, these soldiers were. They are today. They're damaged. And they'll tell you that. We're here to get recognition, create awareness, spread the message about mefloquine and how it mimics PTSD, but how the treatments are vastly different. We're here if anyone needs us. Any veterans can find us on Facebook, Dave Bona, John Dow, and myself, Marge Machi. We'll help you to get to where you need answers. This thing doesn't have to own the rest of your life. There are methods to deal with it, and that's the message we're trying to spread today.
Thank you.
Thank you. There's Dr. Remington. There's a good one to interview.
Yes, I've interviewed him twice.
Probably, eh?
Besides, I heard him for 2 hours yesterday.
Oh, I know, eh? What more do you need?
I know everything.
You want to be an expert, right?
Hey, how are you?
How are you doing?
Do you want to say a few words?
About what?
It's on the record. So your name, how you were affected by mefloquine, just a summary, and what changes you want to see. Why are you here today? Okay, start with your name.
Stephen Beardwood.
And how are you affected by mefloquine?
Major flashbacks in time and place, extreme anger. Take the list, and I almost... Everyone's there.
All the side effects.
All the side effects. There. I lost 4 children. Marriage.
You lost them in terms of.
No,
they were separated from.
Separated from them. Yeah. I'm actually going to meet the last of my children for the first time in 21 years next month. So,
congratulations.
Yeah.
What changes do you want to see? Why are you demonstrating?
I want to see the bastards who made the decisions held accountable.
In the 1990s or 80s, I guess.
Yeah. The people who chose to do this, who did not do their job with due diligence, who shortcutted, who played politics, who lied, who manipulated, and left us out on the street, because that's what happened. I was thrown out of the military with no resources in the middle of a custody battle to fight for my life. I want to see them held accountable.
No,
I do.
Thank you.
I'm that bitter.
Are you here for the demonstration?
Yes, I am.
To support a member of the
husband. Yeah.
Okay. I run a podcast in the United States called The Infectious Myth, which is very critical of medical.
Yeah.
Yes. And I've interviewed Dr. Nevin and John Dow.
I'm Anna Dow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So would you like to give your perspective as the wife of a serviceman?
Absolutely. What exactly do you want me to say?
So your name, obviously, and then how you were affected, like obviously not directly but indirectly, and what changes you'd like to see while you're coming out for the demonstration.
How am I affected? Okay, I actually wrote a book about it, so.
Really? Yeah. What was the name of the book?
Bent Not Broken, Finding Your Power, Passion, and Purpose.
Yes.
The family survivor got the post-traumatic stress disorder. It's more about PTSD, but then, you know.
Right, mefloquine is all mixed.
So intertwined with PTSD and stuff. And mimics the symptoms, as Dr. Nevin said.
Right, and so you're talking about your family, basically, as the
core. So how to support us as the caregivers, right?
What
to do when there's a sufferer in the family. Because their emphasis is usually on the sufferers themselves.
Right.
But when it comes to the families, it's, you know, there's not a lot of support. Or when John was diagnosed with PTSD, or when he's, you know, diving into the mefloquine, there's not enough for the families, right?
So. Right. I mean, families suffer from anger and other aspects. I mean, what do you see in terms of families having to deal with and trying to understand that it's not the personality, it's something else?
I think the biggest thing is to understand that, you know, it's not their character. You know, it's not that they're bad people. It's just they have come back from deployments or, you know, from taking the drug and really changed their brain functioning and their perspective on life. And it changed them, period, right? So not take it personally and be compassionate, obviously, to the point where we can take it, because it's really hard to draw that line, because we as family members want to support them, right? They want to be there for them, but sometimes it's getting out of hand, right? So obviously there's that fine line. So self-care, really assessing the symptoms and really seeing what we can and cannot.
And do you want more support from the Canadian government? Or?
Absolutely. Recognition. That's the number one thing, that, you know, the soldiers were exposed to it and then
to
mefloquine. What it did. Yeah,
yes.
What it did to them. That's
yes. And I don't think you gave your name.
Yeah, it's Anna Dow.
Thank you, Anna.
You're welcome.
Okay. Would you like to talk a little bit? I'm David Crowe. I run a podcast on medical issues.
Yeah,
and I'm just wondering.
At the meeting with you yesterday.
Yes, we were there together. I'm just wondering if you could say what you'd like to see come out of this.
The rally itself.
This rally, yeah. What is your name?
My name's Kathy Wagatol.
Yeah. And you are an MP?
I'm Member of Parliament for Yorkton Melville, and I'm Shadow Deputy Minister for Veterans Affairs for the Conservative Party.
And with this rally, again, with concerns about mefloquine, what would you like to see come out of it?
Well, first of all, I'm really pleased with what I've seen as this movement has been continuing on, right from when Claude first came to the Hill in 2016 and with the rally last year. And now with what I see improving is now that we have the label more correct from Health Canada.
The label of the drug.
Right, of the drug. And we also have our Surgeon General saying that our armed forces will now only use it as a drug of last resort. That's all great.
Right.
But, you know, when I get a notice that there's something wrong on my car, the expectations of our government is that every car owner that has that car will be informed.
Right.
And there's been no effort to really inform our veterans that, you know what, this is possibly something that's impacted your life. Go and get tested. And with what we learned yesterday from Dr. Nevin with the Quinism Foundation, I'm excited for this rally, for the fact that people are excited that we are moving forward in Canada to get to that next step.
Yes.
So that's what I'm excited about.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What's your name?
My name's Jill Greenwood.
And your position in the military?
I was a corporal admin clerk.
Okay. And you didn't take methadone, but you took chloroquine, which is a related drug. So
yes.
How did that affect you?
Within 1 year, I developed irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I've developed chronic pain and food sensitivities. It's had a tremendous effect on my life and my social life and my family, my mm-hmm. relationships, my health. Has been a real challenge, and as I get older, it's a more of a challenge to maintain my health.
So you're at a rally on Parliament Hill. What changes do you want to see come out of this activism?
I want to see mefloquine, and I want to see awareness. I want the government to acknowledge the fact that our soldiers were poisoned.
Yes.
I want the government to compensate our soldiers who've been poisoned,
mm-hmm.
and I want more public awareness. We're the canary in the coal mine.
Right.
The public needs to be aware of the dangers of these very powerful destructive medications.
Right, because it's not just the military that took these. A lot of travelers and people working overseas.
Absolutely,
well.
Absolutely. And people go on holidays to Africa and they take this medication thinking it's safe. They return home and all of a sudden they have these symptoms, and
right.
they don't know that the symptoms may be coming from this medication.
Right, and maybe the treatment, if it's PTSD in the case of somebody from the military versus methadone poisoning, the treatments can be quite different.
Absolutely, because there's more symptoms. And some of these wounded soldiers, they get treated for PTSD and they're not getting better. And they don't understand,
yes.
in some cases, that it could be this methadone toxicity.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. And thanks for doing this.
David, hi. I see you come with a recorder in hand.
So, all right, just want you to say your name,
sure.
and what you would like to see come out of the activism that's happening in Canada.
Oh, sure.
So, your name?
Yeah. So, I'm Dr. Remington Nevin. I'm the executive director of the Quinism Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to education and research on the family of medical disorders caused by quinoline poisoning. Mefloquine's a quinoline, and the most common complication of methadone poisoning is neuropsychiatric quinism, chronic quinoline encephalopathy, a problem that affects the brain and that causes chronic neuropsychiatric symptoms. Those are the problems we focus on.
So how can the Canadian activism such as this demonstration help with this problem?
Well, ultimately, I think what the veterans are doing today is raising awareness among policymakers, among the public, but also among clinicians. Among the rank and file doctors that see veterans every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for much of the past 25 years, clinicians haven't been aware that these veterans are suffering to some degree from the chronic adverse effects of mefloquine. Only recently has this fact become apparent to policymakers, to drug regulators, and even to the veterans themselves. So I think what the veterans will do today is raise further awareness among clinicians that they may be suffering from conditions that are in part or in whole attributable to mefloquine. And some of the things I'll be talking about today are tools, are techniques that clinicians can use to increase their ability to detect these problems when they see veterans in their clinic.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
That's great. I don't want to interrupt, but I run a podcast called The Infectious Myth, which is a medical criticism podcast, and I've been following the mefloquine issue. And if you're affected, the mefloquine issue, the reason for this rally. So would you like to say a few words on the record?
I encourage... what is most important is that the veterans stay united. There can be peer... disunity,
right?
And the government is constantly exploiting that,
right?
And
divide and conquer,
conquer and divide, and divide and conquer. Yes.
Yes.
So but my issue,
yes,
I go back to 1953 when they put me through insulin shock therapy, inducing a coma every day for 12 weeks, considering me schizoid, which I was not.
Why? So they thought you were mentally ill, so they put you on high-dose insulin?
Back then, The Beautiful Mind, the movie,
yes,
they put him through insulin shock therapy, right, as well as electroshock.
Right.
Now, one out of five died from the treatment, and the rest who survived suffered neurological impairments for the rest of it. That's my story.
What kind of symptoms? Like loss of sensation? Like what kind of neurological problems have you experienced?
Not identifiable, really. You lose focus and concentration.
Mm.
It's taken years to put the pieces together.
Right. And your name and your rank in the military?
Gerard Putvin, Jerry Putvin.
Yep.
And I rose to the wonderful rank of leading aircraft.
Yes. After the national anthem and the bagpipes, it's time for some speeches, and they are worth listening to.
It's an honor to be here as the critic for the federal NDP for Veterans Affairs. Standing with my good friend and colleague, Irene Matheson from London Fanshawe, who has been a great advocate for Veterans Affairs. It's a huge honor to be here today and speak in recognition of the incredible work you're doing to raise public awareness of the chronic and debilitating effects from the use of Mefloquine. It's time that the government recognizes that many of you are needlessly suffering as a result of the Mefloquine given to you during your service to our country. It's not the first time members of the military community have banded together to advance solutions for the effects of service-related illness and injuries. Previous veterans who fought for recognition of their conditions caused by exposure to Agent Orange were ultimately successful, as I hope you will be too. Your struggle is real, and we hear you. I also want to acknowledge my colleague Kathy Wagenthal from the Conservative Party. She's done some great work. I've been talking with Kathy on ways that we can move forward with you. We stand with you, and together we will continue to work to raise the public's awareness about Mefloquine and ensure that the government recognizes and acknowledges how your exposure to this toxic substance has radically affected the lives of you and your families. Above all, we will work to ensure that you have the medical treatment, recognition, and support that you deserve, both as veterans and as victims of a tragic circumstance well beyond your control. I want to thank you for your service. And history is on your side, and together we will find success. Thank you.
All right. Good one.
And I'll introduce my friend Irene Matheson to say a few more words.
Well, thank you very much for being here today. All of you who stand up for and with our injured veterans and all veterans, I am very, very grateful. I'd also like to say thank you very much for the wonderful rendition of O Canada. You remind us that veterans fought, died, and gave all that they had for our freedom. And I don't want anyone in this country to ever forget that. I looked up Mefloquine. We did a lot of work in the Veterans Committee in regard to Mefloquine when it was raised, because it seemed to be that deep, dark secret that no one wanted to talk about. And it says in the literature that you should stop taking Mefloquine and call your doctor right away if you have any of these side effects. Sudden headache, ringing in your ears, dizziness, loss of balance and coordination, severe anxiety and depression, paranoia, hallucinations, seeing things, hearing things that aren't there, and confusion. It's very clear to me that this is a dangerous drug that was first issued in 1992 for the Somalia mission by a drug company at a time when it was unlicensed. And 900 Canadian soldiers were compelled to be part of this clinical study. Absolutely unacceptable. Our personnel, our brave soldiers and veterans were used like guinea pigs. They were part of a clinical study, not good enough. And the government never took responsibility for that. No government, not the government then, no government since, has taken responsibility, despite the fact that in 1999, the Federal Auditor General issued a report indicating that the Department of National Defense had improperly prescribed mefloquine and failed to track soldiers' side effects as required by this clinical study. So they washed their hands of the veterans, their families, and all of those who depended on something good coming from the government. Now, the Quinism Foundation has sent a letter to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau calling for reopening of the Somalia inquiry. And I think that that would be a very good idea. And I hope that the Prime Minister has the courage to do that. Because yes, there's going to be blame placed. And yes, there are going to be consequences. But that's part of justice. That's part of what our veterans are demanding. And that's part of why we're here today. Thank you very much for being here, supporting our veterans. This is a just and righteous cause.
Mr. Robert Kitchen.
Thank you, all of you, for being here today. Veterans, I thank you all for your service to your country. Thank you all, because my job as a member of Parliament is thanks to you and the work and the services and the sacrifices you made. I appreciate you taking a time to be here and raise the awareness about the use of methadone and the devastating effects this drug has had. This is important as it continues to affect both active service men and women, as well as our veterans, and it needs to be addressed. In my view, it is also a public health issue, given that the drug is often prescribed to civilians as an anti-malarial. In fact, I was in Pakistan in March, and the first, when I went to get my doctor in Saskatchewan and asked him for an anti-malarial, the first medication he wanted to give me was methadone. I turned him down, I know the side effects, and I explained to him the side effects of this medication, and I'm hoping that he will continue to stop using that medication. Myself and my colleagues have heard some heart-wrenching testimony during the meeting for Veteran Affairs Committee, specifically with respect to the effects of methadone that can have on our soldiers. Canada needs
a choice, right?
Canada
choice
needs to catch up with our allies,
whether or not such, to take that drug.
Such as Australia. And you're right, sir. You're right. I did have the choice, and you did not get that choice. And that's not acceptable. So we need to catch up with our allies like Australia. And it comes to re-recognize the effects of the drug and the banning it based on that. The evidence of the negative health effects of methadone consumption exists, and it is unclear to me as to why the government refuses to take meaningful action to this issue. Neurotoxicity caused by the use of methadone has the potential to ruin lives, not just of the soldiers, but their families and friends as well. Caretakers, often family members, tend to be forgotten, which is when it comes to a situation like this. I would like to take a moment to thank all those here who have sacrificed their time and efforts to take care of a loved one, whether their needs were due to methadone use or another service-related injury. We will continue to fight against the youth of Methuen. My colleague, Kathy Wagenthal, my Gord Johns, we've stepped up many times in as well as Ms. Matheson, and we thank you all for that continued support, as well as our chair, assistant vice chair, Bill McColeman. We will continue to fight against the youth of Methuen, so that our CAF members will always hear from us, and we will try to be the voice of those who cannot and were not able to speak for themselves. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a real privilege for me to be here today. It's my honor to introduce
Did you find milestones last night?
Next speaker, Claude Levancette, came to the Hill 2 years ago, September 19th, 2016, on a hunger strike, calling on the Minister of Veterans to meet with him. You see, Claude is a veteran and served in the Canadian Airborne in Somalia in 1992. I couldn't find him that day. The reason being, much to my amazement, he had already met, not just with the Veterans Affairs Minister, Kent Hare, but also Minister of Health, Jane Philpott, and Minister of National Defense, Harjeet Sajjan. In Claude's words on social media, he said the meeting went well and ended with an invitation to a committee being formed. He was told that he could determine who would sit on the committee and who would testify. His mandate was to have the government study the impacts of Methuen on our soldiers, reopen the Somali inquiry, and then, if appropriate, apologize to the Canadian Airborne. Well, that sounds too good to be true. And unfortunately, it was. However, that was not the end, but just the beginning of this man's tenacity, conviction, and ultimate influence in bringing hope to those suffering from Methuen poisoning. When you get the ear of not one, not two, but three ministers together in a matter of minutes, I can tell you, you have an issue with a sordid history and with teeth. Because Claude came back and he did not relent, two full days of testimony were his to orchestrate at the Veterans Affairs Committee study on mental health. He requested Dr. Passy, Dr. Nevin, Dr. Ritchie, John Dow, David Bona, Brendan Klett to join him in testifying to the impact of Methuen. Their testimony opened the door to a whole new opportunity to reveal the depth of the impacts of Methuen poisoning on our troops, right up to and including Afghanistan, where it was still the required first line of defense anti-malaria drug. Claude, would you come join me, please? Claude, I want you to know that because of your advocacy, Health Canada quietly corrected the label in 2016, June, putting the proper emphasis on the severe reactions that can be both lifelong mental and physical injuries and possible suicide and homicidal ideation. In June of 2017, the Surgeon General released a report that relegated Methuen to a drug of last resort for troops being deployed to theaters where malaria is a risk to our Canadian Armed Forces. Two very good outcomes. Claude, now, because of what you did, you have given credence to the research needed and going forward in Canada now to scientifically affirm what so many have experienced. Like you, the experience of devastation of personal well-being and the severe impact on the lives of family members by the very wrongful use of this drug. I want you to know that I deeply appreciate you, and you have given hope to your fellow soldiers and veterans. And today, as he comes to speak with us, I just want to pass on. I knew this is going to be a problem. Nope, I got it. I have a small token of my appreciation, my Canada 150 Service Medal, to appreciate, Claude, the huge impact that you've made on the efforts on behalf of all your fellow veterans.
Uh, gonna have to excuse me. My name is Claude Lancet. You're gonna have to excuse me because I am suffering, and situations like this create a lot of anxiety issues and concentration issues. Just hearing that beep right there, it's like going through my skull, okay? And I just want you to bear with me. My name is Khalil Nasset. I'm an ex-paratrooper, served with Canadian Airborne Regiment, 1 Commando, and also served in Somalia. I recently found out 2 years ago that my I was diagnosed with PTSD in 2007. And I recently found out that my issues were greater. And I also found out why I wasn't healing. Since 2007, I've been trying to heal. And my situation just got worse and worse. My life just went down a hellish spiral. And 2 years ago, I found out why. And it's because I was misdiagnosed. I still can't say this legally. But I have been misdiagnosed with PTSD and led to a hellish treatment, which created psychosis and so on. Today, I wanted to present myself. I want to present my act, my why we're here. Why we're here is mefloquine has been a drug of choice here in Canada since 1993. But what Canadians need to know is that mefloquine, okay, has been mislabeled for 25 years. The licensing of this drug has broken all the rules. We're talking about criminal negligence here by the Department of National Defense. A lot of people think I'm aggressive. A lot of people think I'm conspiracy theorist. But I'm not.
No, you're not.
I'm a victim.
No, you're not.
I was poisoned by mefloquine. I was poisoned by mefloquine, and the responsibility falls onto the hands of the Department of National Defense.
Yes.
My actions. I came here. When I found this out, I went crazy. I sat in my home. I was alone with barely nothing. I just got off the street, actually, because the Legion got me off the streets. And I started looking into this. As soon as I found out about this, I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop researching. I spent nights up finding documents, finding old articles, and looking at this and completely disgusted, completely alone. I was alone. I was at home. I was alone. I asked someone about this. They led me to John. John enlightened me with a lot of stuff that was going on. We talked for hours. John led me to Dave, which Dave is a freaking encyclopedia of mefloquine and a good representative for veterans. And Dave has been a great help for me. So again, I was alone. I got Dave. I got John. So I started seeing the picture much bigger. The image that is in my head of the victims in this just grew. As soon as I heard about this, I thought about Clayton. Clayton Matchy and Kyle Brown have been victimized, used, and abused, shamed for the job of men that work in this building and call themselves honorable. This grew a deep fire in me. I had to take actions. The action I wanted to do is kick the freaking door down. I'm sorry for my language, but I want to kick the door down. I came here on the 19th of September 2016, where I staged my first hunger strike. There I met, well, actually, I stood. And I asked the journalists where the ministers are coming in. He told me this door. I stood at that door and yelled at all the ministers that were walking in. Hey, tell Kent Hare, he's got a veteran out here starving himself for answers.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, my hunger strike lasted 4 hours. They came out, they brought me in, they questioned me, their whole team, their assistants, and at noon, I had a meeting with three ministers. Minister of Defense, Haljit Sajjan. Minister of Veterans Affairs, Kent Hare. Minister of Health, Dr. Jane Philpott. They came and they brought me in there to listen to me. I spoke about my issues and I pointed at them. Especially Jane Philpott. I said, this is a national health issue. Because in my mind, if the airborne was that messed up in Somalia, and I'm looking in my community in Kitchener, where we're in Canada. This is a multicultural community. It's a country, it's multicultural. Everybody travels to these endemic countries. Malaria endemic countries is everywhere. We have India, we have Africa. It's everywhere. And all those people traveling back home to visit their families, as an aid worker to come to aid, are being fed this drug of choice that has been misrepresented in Canada for 25 years. 25 years. Jeez. And when I brought this up and I pointed at Jane Philpott, Dr. Jane Philpott, I told her, this is a national health issue. I see this so huge, so huge. Mental health in Canada, suicide, murder, suicide. And I get a response from a minister of health, which is a doctor. Her response to my, me showing her this is, I'm just here for my colleague. I was completely disgusted because she's an elected MP. She is now made a minister. She is a doctor, and she doesn't see the plausibility of methylquin toxicity. The more I look into this, the more I need to speak out. And it's affecting me just to speak out. You can see me now. I'm like raging.
She's a coward.
But if people can listen to men like Dr. Remington Nevin, Dr. Passy, that has been trying to say something. You know, if those honorable people can be honorable and see the plausibility of this, we'll get this advanced a lot quicker. Look, just the plausibility that a misdiagnosis can be done with PTSD and lead to suicide. I don't see where there's no urgency. There was no urgency after I spoke to those guys. They ignored me for 2 weeks. I was getting pressure from the community because I came out of there. Oh, I'm going to get a methylquin committee. You know, that's what they promised me. They promised me a methylquin committee to listen to what the doctors had to say. But I was ignored. I was completely ignored from the Minister of Health, Minister of Defense, and Minister of Veterans Affairs. They promised me urgency, a committee on methylquin. I waited 1 week because the royals were here for their visits. And the next week, I spent the whole week harassing them to get numbers. No one responded to me. I had to get mad again, strap my freaking boots on, and come back here for a second time. And again, the second time I came here, my numbers grew. Like, you know, I came here, I was alone. And now I come back for a second time. I have veterans that have heard me, okay, and have been paying attention to what I've been saying and guided me to strategic areas. Made me shake hands with important people that knew that there's a plausibility in this. Clayton Goodwin is right there. He's the man. I came here alone. I thought I was alone again, but he made me see that I was not alone. He helped me. He brought me to the Standing Committee on Veterans Affairs. He brought me to the Stakeholders Summit. I didn't like what I saw over there, but I did like what I saw at the committee. After going to the committee, is where I've met my, you know, for me, she's my hero. Three people came out. Alupa Clark. Okay, he was one of the first I shook hands, we briefly met, but he came out and see me. But when I was doing my hunger strike and sitting out there watching the MPs leave, man, and I'm just sitting there watching them. Mrs. Wagenthal came out, extended her hand. She listened to me. She saw the urgency. She saw the pain I was going through. She came and speak my name without tearing up, like I'm doing with her. So, you know, Irene Matheson, she spoke first, but that lady came out with her family to see me while I was sitting out there. She heard me. Alupa Clark heard me. But no one responsible in there did. I staged those hunger strikes because my member of parliament, Mal Wantabara, he is the member of parliament for Kitchener South, Hespler. He denied my voice. I went to him when I heard about this. I brought him John Dow to explain. I directly linked him to Dr. Nevin to listen to me, and I needed this on the floor. It had to go into the House. I wanted this on record. I need that. He denied me that. And that is why I stood up. I was raging. I couldn't take anymore. I needed to kick that door down. Clayton brought me to those things, got me direct attention from the opposition. Irene Matheson, Alupa Clark, John Brassard, and
Kathy,
you know, she, they've been there for us. They've been there for us, but this is the opposition. Today, and hopefully in the upcoming years, we're gonna see my numbers grow. My numbers are growing. Let's get these numbers growing, because that's the only way we're gonna get the attention in this House. I tried by myself with my member of parliament, and he denied me. I sat down with three ministers who ignored me. But the opposition, I know there's good people in there, but I know there's people with names that are honorable, it's not a name, it's a title that they give themselves as honorable, that are not so honorable. You know? It sickens me. I sit at home when I hear answers from them. I was just at the corner there talking to Mrs. McCracken, and it's very shameful, her thoughts, saying that science is not there. And how can science be there if you're not looking at the plausibility that this is an issue? They're completely ignoring the issue. And Dr. Nevin explained completely well. I was amazed yesterday. I spent the night up watching the videos of our meeting. Very enlightful. We do have to listen to Dr. Nevin. I want to do a shout out here for my brothers, for those suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. If your treatments are not leading you to a better life, if you're sitting there going to your therapist talking about this and just getting angered, it's not going anywhere, and it's been over 2 years, your issues are greater. You need to look into the anti-malarials that you've taken. Mefloquine is toxic. Quinoline drugs are toxic. Listen to what doctor, I'm not a scientist, I'm not, that's why I invited the man. You know, I can't sit there. They gave me 4 hours. The Standing Committee on Veterans Affairs, the opposition on the Standing Committee on Veterans Affairs gave me 4 hours to present this. I don't have the credibility to do this. So I threw it into the right hands. The only man that's really, really an expert in this, has been devoting his life on this, is Dr. Remington Nevin. And all the MPs that have failed to show up here, that have shook their hands and said, yeah, they need to listen to this man and look at the plausibility of this. Because it's leading to murder and suicide. It's destroying lives. My life was destroyed, and I destroyed lives on my way. I have four victims, I say. I have four victims. I have more, but the ones that are really close to my heart that I think about a lot, they're only... But I'm looking at my four, and it's adding up. I don't know if I'm a mathematician because of this fucking drug, but I'm saying I'm adding up, and I'm looking at my community, and I can see it devastated. I'm hearing nightmares since I've stood up. I can't hear them anymore. They have affected me. VEC has attacked me, has attacked my benefits, has attacked my person, and are denying me to speak. They're denying veterans like Dave Bona, who's taken it, okay, for a year, okay, without knowing that this drug was harmful, without knowing what the manufacturer has been saying, he didn't know what the World Health Organization issued as guidelines to license this drug in 1989. He didn't know all that stuff. He just trusted his government, the government that betrayed him by ordering industrial amounts of unlicensed drug and illegal drug trials on soldiers to license for profit. Because if you look at this drug, it's very profitable. Okay, it's profit. And it's leading our veterans to murder and suicide. Okay, I'm gonna wrap it up. I think my 10 minutes are over, right? Again, I want to see my numbers grow. I'm giving a shout out to my brothers, Airborne. I hope next year we're going to see some bikes and some people that really, really need to listen to Dr. Nevin. Okay, we need to make this loud because they're not listening to me. They're not listening to Dave. They're not listening to John. And they're mainly not listening to Dr. Nevin. Listen to Dr. Nevin. You'll see the plausibility. It is a link. It is a link, so it's plausible. Why not research? Why not research? Why not look into it? All I'm getting is ignorance. And I don't know. I was shamed for how many years? 25 years. The Airborne was shamed. I were put through the ringer through the inquiry. And to find out that they closed the inquiry without really looking at the issue, and putting all the shame on the Airborne, the shameful disbandment that they did to us, the denials, the ignorance of the Auditor General's report in 1999 when John Cummings brought this up, it just makes me angry. You can see all the ignorance in the Canadian government. I'm not talking about political parties here, but I'm talking to the Canadian government, past and present. Presently, they're not listening. They're saying they're listening, but they're not. Just hearing what Mrs. McCracken was saying was disgusting. Because all the plausibilities are there to have research. And she says that there's no research into this because you're ignoring the fact that you mislabeled the monograph. That the drug has been mislabeled for 25 years. How can you look at the side effects? So, thank you. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm ranting, I'm raging, I have to go. There's many more to come, and please listen to us. We have lots of stories, and you might find yourself in there. And if you please listen to Dr. Nevin, it'd be, a step forward. Thank you.
Mr. Bouchard.
Dave, and thank you, Claude, as well, for sharing your story with everyone this afternoon. And it's a story that we've certainly heard here in Parliament, but I know that there are many people across the country that are watching live on Facebook who need to hear the story, not just the story of Claude, but all veterans across this country. And you know, when I look at this issue, And when my colleagues looked at this issue, we didn't look at it through the lens of a conservative party, a liberal party, the NDP. We looked at it as a Canadian issue. We looked at it as an issue that affected Canadian veterans, and those who are affected by this know the impact of that. Not only the impact on our Canadian veterans, but their families as well. And I see Anna's here, and for those of you that haven't picked up Anna's book yet to read about the impacts on the family, I would suggest strongly that you do that. And I did read the book as I was traveling in July because you gave it to me as a gift. But you know, we sat there at committee and we were doing a PTSD and mental health study. And there was one common denominator that kept coming back on the issue of PTSD and on the issue of mental health, and particularly for those who were prescribed Mefloquine, the impact that that drug had on them, the impact that it had on their families as well. And so when you, Dave, and others brought this case towards committee, it was really, and John as well, with all his advocacy, it was the credibility of Dr. Nevin and the credibility of George and others who came to committee and said, listen, we need to do something about this. We need to study this. We need to find out the impacts that this had on our veterans and their families. And when our allies are doing that, why can't we as Canada do that as well? And that's what we asked for. And with our colleague Irene Matheson of the NDP, there was a report that was written. Many of you who sat through that testimony, many of you who testified, many of you who heard what was being said to that committee were just as likely shocked as we were that many of those voices weren't reflected accurately in that report. And that's why we issued a dissenting report. We issued a dissenting report because we needed this drug to be looked at closely by the Canadian government. And so I want to thank my colleagues who worked with us on the committee. Kathy Wagenthal, Robert Kitchen, who's here, Irene Matheson, and Phil McColeman, our critic for Veterans Affairs, or our shadow minister for Veterans Affairs, who's picked up the ball and continues to push this issue for all of you who are affected and all veterans across this country. And we're doing it to restore the dignity of those veterans, to restore the honor of the Airborne Regiment. And we're going to continue to push, but we need you to continue to push. And I apologize from the bottom of my heart that we are still here today, a year after last year's rally, still making the same call. But we're going to continue to fight as long as you continue to fight. And we're going to make sure, for the sake of our veterans and their families, that this drug is investigated and that the good of our veterans is done by this government or future governments. We're going to make sure of that, and we make you that promise today. So on behalf of my colleagues who are here from our party, and Carol's here from the NDP, and there are others as well, I want to say thank you for taking the time today to come to Parliament Hill. Thank you for continuing to raise the awareness. Thank you to your families. Your families who must deal with this issue with you. And to Dr. Nevin and others who continue to bring credibility to this issue, continue to bring research and science to this issue, keep up the work. And to all of you, I say keep up the fight, because we're going to fight with you. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for listening to episode 196 of The Infectious Myth. The speech from Remington Nevin is at theinfectiousmyth.com/2018-09, that's 201809, nevin.mp3, all lowercase. I'll also link it in the show notes.